Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. The show is about fun. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. In response to a previous interview on the show with a guy named Tom Hatzis, where he comes on and basically ripped on Jan Ervin for about an hour, I guess, Jan Ervin has responded with maybe I should just start reading it, because by the end of 2 hours of this show, I'll probably be about halfway through his response, right? And Jan has said that it's a waste of time coming on the show to debate Tom Hatzis, so instead he wrote a four-hour rebuttal instead. I don't know how that works. But this is the post from Jan Ervin. Vinnie Eastwood publishes bogus attack on my work. Tom makes up a false statement and then creates a false debunking around it. I never said that I dealt with philology. In fact, though I worked with one and I published Ruck's own philology on the matter in the 40th edition of SMC, he entirely omits it. I said specifically that I went to Cal State Northridge specifically to get the primary quotes on astrotheology and a few specific citations on Allegro. That's not the only time I spent in the university libraries. He's conflating topics and issues to fit his agenda, saying that people can see the image for themselves. They can, and not just the one that he focuses on. This guy confuses and conflates many dozens of topics and citations. He doesn't even understand the argument that was made in the book. Notice that he claims to have read the entire book and then skips right to page 115. Vinny says it looks like a mushroom. Then Tom sets up a bogus argument from what I wrote and omits the history of writings on the salamander that Ruck and others have done on the subject. Now he takes this one image, page 115, and expands it out that somehow all of my work is wrong. This is known as poisoning the well and sweeping generalization fallacies. Then he goes on to argue that the man in the image is dying from eating poison fruit, and he's eating it in front of a tree that looks like a mushroom. But he doesn't explain where the poison fruit came from, only that the salamander poisoned the tree. He apparently takes this literally. Tom claims, quote, everything he writes about this is incorrect, but doesn't show how. No onus of proof, just a sweeping generalization fallacy. More attacks on me. Using straw mans and misrepresenting my work is not evidence of an error. Then he goes on to talk about Latin and alchemy with, and no alchemy treatises are in English. Notice how he sets up that I couldn't have read any of them and then switches to, well, not this one, I translated it. Incredible trickery here. I had already told him in an email that it came from Chris Bennett and it was Chris's original error, but he doesn't attack Chris at all. He just makes huge sweeping generalizations, but it's clear that Vinny did this whole interview just to allow someone to attack me. Yeah, that's not the case. I didn't even know what Tom was really going to be starting on talking about, but, you know, he came on, he started attacking Jan Irvin, and I'd never heard this kind of stuff before, so I just wanted to, you know, hear him out and figure out what he was talking about. So, yeah, I wasn't deliberately trying to attack Jan by bringing this guest on. By the way, this is a proviso to the show. I don't necessarily agree with all the guests that we have on here. I just try to, just try to interview them, have fun, that kind of thing. This is not a very serious show. If you take things too seriously, you go nuts. That's the whole point of the show. You're sitting here ripping on... there's a quote of mine. You're sitting here ripping on Jan Irvin, and apparently you're not done yet. Then he does an appeal to popularity. How many academics agree or disagree, regardless if they've studied the details of the info? Are they qualified to agree or disagree? Who are they? What did they write? He provides nothing but their appeal. He also admits that a professor wrote a very positive academic review of my book, which is published in the academic journals. Notice how this whole entire argument is based on this one image. Anything else he just claims is wrong, because with no supporting evidence, which he ignored, and Hoffman was CIA, as was Wasson, he omits this as well when he says how wonderful they are. And I debunked Tom's article line by line, and he ignored it. Why claim that I wouldn't respond? That's just dishonest. I replied to his whole article, breaking down its flaws, on February 16th, 2013. Notice how he attacks me. Ruck didn't get it from me. We both got it from Chris Bennett. Ridiculous. Chris had cited it to the Bodleian. Back then, it was very difficult to track down such images. We didn't have online image searches back then. Tom instead makes a huge conspiracy theory, highly academic piece that he wrote, even though it distorts everything I wrote for his own false presentation of my work. Yes, he did in fact focus on one issue, the single image on page 115. Then he uses fallacies. Quote, a real scholar, the other came from Jan Irvin, and he laughs. An appeal to ridicule. But then he goes on to lie about Dr. Robert Price and how he and Arcaria even worked together for a while. The quote from Price came from his own website. Notice he admitted it. Omitted it, sorry. Price pulled his own comments on her work. There's a link there, and this is all going to be posted to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com archives from that show in a PDF form, so you can get the links and read the rebuttal in full there. And also on my homepage on Facebook, Guerrilla Media, Mr. News, the post about this show is there, and there's again a much long, extremely detailed accounts from Jan Irvin there as well. quote, I find myself in full agreement with Arcaria SDM Murdoch. We assert that Christianity constitutes Gnosticism historicized and Judaized, likewise representing a synthesis of Egyptian, Jewish, and Greek religion and mythology, among others, including Buddhism, via King Asoka's missionaries from around the, quote, known world. Christianity is largely the product of Egyptian religion being Judaized and historicized. Robert Price, that's in page 482. Uh-oh, now who's the one caught? Uh-oh. Looks like someone got caught red-handed making an argument from ignorance. There's no place to hide anymore. And that's a quote from Tom Hatzis. And the irony is too rich. Tom claims there is no evidence for any of this, but he ignores the very evidence he omits the citation from the philologist. I've never even heard that word before. Is that a real word? You know, a philologist. Or what? Philologist. It's like philosophy, but it's a philologist. Philologist. Okay. Philologist. All right. Oh, my God. It's such a difficult word. I've never seen that before in my entire fracking life. Ruck, 15 full pages, and also this one, which has published in both books he cited. Quote, since the time Allegro published The Sacred Mushroom and The Cross, much new research in the area of fertility cults and their relationship to entheogens and especially mushrooms has surfaced. Finding a Sumerian philologist, I got it right that time, who possesses a knowledge of entheogens and fertility cults is next to impossible. However, during our research, we learned of one highly accredited Sumerian philologist, Anna Partington. Partington is a former associate of Allegro who also possesses a deep understanding of entheogens and fertility cults. Though not in complete support of his views, this is what she had to say regarding Allegro. Most people come to the field of Sumerian studies with a background in several early Mid-Eastern languages. Although John was of a previous generation, he was, in common with most Orientalists, perfectly well-equipped to deal with the cuneiform languages. He found comparative linguistic study especially interesting, but early in his career, the finding of the scrolls by the Dead Sea led him to specialize in translation of these Hebrew and Aramaic documents. Unfortunately, the comparative philological work presented in SMC, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, uses a number of hypothetical Sumerian words not attested in text. These are marked with an asterisk following philological convention. This is akin to proposing there is a word in the English language, a bell bat, because the individual words bell and bat are known to exist separately. Then again, words of different languages are gathering together with the type of argument which could be expected in order to demonstrate the possible relationship. And that's Annie Partington. Uh-oh! This is a very obviously a hit piece. It's incredible how Vinny and these hosts just let people lie and attack researchers and scholars without reading or verifying anything they say. And Vinny even admits during the interview that he's not read my work. WTF. Notice how Vinny or Thomas didn't ask me to debate. Actually, we did ask you to debate, and I've mentioned it many times on the Facebook post, so that's Jan Irvin lying there. Neither contacted me for a debate, and Thomas just lies over the matter. He contacted me name-calling like he just called me a coward. Tom's emails to me are below. Then he mentions his pal Johnny Enoch, quote, citations are from Mars, that Johnny Enoch, who refuses to discuss a single point had actually written. Johnny's entire argument was attacking me for revealing the truth behind Terence McKenna, his sacred cow. Johnny set up a strong... It just kind of goes on like this. I'm about a quarter of the way... No. I'm about one-tenth of the way through. Do you see how I kind of had to try and read this out on air today? So, I'm sorry. Reading is not my strong point, and Jan calls me lazy for that, and I think he's probably right. Johnny set up a straw man and refused to discuss the actual points of my research, so yes, I entirely blew him off. Johnny made a laughable video attacking my work when he ignored everything I'd written, but this also reveals a possible agenda here with Thomas, and there's a YouTube link there for those of you who will be looking on the archives. I'd love to debate this guy, if he could actually focus on the work and not just name call like we're on a playground. So basically he says, I'd love to debate this guy, but I'm not going to debate this guy. Instead, I'm going to write a 4-hour tirade on Facebook about it and then refuse to come on the show and actually talk about it. He's totally into attacking me and not the work, though I did make a mistake that it was a family member of his who contacted me. This is from February 14th, 2013. Quote, just wanted to know, Jan, I just wanted Jan to know an ex-tutor of my brother's is mentally unstable and bashing Jan on Facebook, complete with posting names and people he claims have emailed him, calling him names and insulting him. Be careful, because Tom, who is a gripper wayer on Facebook, is disturbed and should not be worked with on any projects. But it's amazing how Vinny just goes on and allows this guy to continue to lie about me. I am responding to him, and he is on a rant and tirade, and he is lying, and I've responded to him in the past, who was calling names such as coward is, again, nothing more than name-calling and lies, and the omission of the fact that I already debunked his paper in an email. Most of this interview is just him attacking me and then distorting my words and research, which he seems incapable of comprehending. I'm sitting here going line by line through your entire interview. How is that cowardice? He doesn't say. Then he has to attack me if he knows Latin or not. This is circumstantial ad hominem. Actually, I do know that V is not in Latin, but it's regardless if I know Latin when we're discussing it in English, as well as Allegro's work that was all published in English, etc., is irrelevant. It's a circumstantial ad hominem and bears nothing on the information itself. Then he says I should study the trivium before I promote it. And here he's using all of this fallacious logic. And then he brings up an example from ANS about illogic and then attacks me for the world being flat when we say that. Quote, ancient pagan religions in the Mediterranean area and throughout the Middle East taught that the universe was quite tiny. These included the religions of ancient Egypt, Babylonia, Canaan, etc. The earth was often thought of as flat like a dinner plate. Mountains like the around the edges held up a rigid metallic dome which formed the sky. The gods and angels pushed the sun, moon, planets and stars across the dome of the sky on a daily basis. God sits on his throne in heaven, which lies above the great dome or canopy. Doors or windows in the dome could be opened through which water, fire in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, and brimstone could be poured. This is the view of the universe that the writers of the Bible appear to have adopted from these pagan religions. If one interprets their writing literally, the problem came after Aristotle suggesting that the earth is a sphere. Many members of the clergy could not accept that as truth. There are a number of implications at the Bible that it is the sun that moves, not the earth. And also, we're coming to break now. All right, so I'm about... I'm actually like nearly half done with this, I think. Okay, so we'll be right back, and I'll try and finish reading Jan's response. He said he'd come on if I read that out like afterwards, but I don't know if he will. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Back in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Continuing on this response from Jan Ervin to this interview I had with Tom Hatzis earlier in the week. Our ancestors lack the technology that we pride ourselves on today. For them, it made sense that the Earth was the center of the universe from as high up on any mountain as one could climb. The earth appeared to be as flat as a chessboard. Additionally, the sun and moon do appear to move across the sky. These theories have been proven wrong over time, but this is what the masses were once taught, in part because this is what they could see with their own eyes. Still to this day, we use words like sunrise and sunset, while these words obviously imply movement of the sun, they are common solecisms, and almost everyone gladly overlooks them. Notice how he uses an equivocation regarding flat mountain versus the flat earth theory. These are two very different things. An equivocation is using the same word for different meanings in the middle of an argument to trick the listener. This is a dishonest trick he used, and you can hear Vinny go silent, recognizing something wasn't right with Tom's argument, but failing to call him out. The church banned writing. The Dark Ages, education and writing was banned for many in the lower classes, the serfs, for centuries during the Dark Age, as it's called. Citations below. He omits that Ruck's name is on the back cover of my book, The Holy Mushroom. From the back cover of my book, The Holy Mushroom, it says, John Allegro's revelation of the sacramental role of the sacred mushroom in the ancient religion spanning the agrarian region from Mesopotamia to the Near East was immediately and unfairly rejected by a chorus of scholars less competent than him. But continuing research into early Christianity and the mystery religions of the Greco-Roman world and their perpetuation in alchemy and European folkloric traditions has vindicated the correctness of his discovery. That's from Carl A. P. Ruck at Boston University. He also admits that Ruck himself dealt with Allegro's other philological issues in the republication of Allegro's Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. A 15-page addendum at the back of the republication of Allegro's book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, that I published. He also omits in his rant on me that his email was attacking me and calling me a fraud, and he focuses only on the one issue, which I responded to him in detail, all of the issues in this paper, which he also omitted. This is the first email to me after his family member contacted me and warned me about him. Uh-oh, looks like someone got caught red-handed making an argument from ignorance. And he's got a link there to his article on rpsychedelia.com, Roasting the Salamander Mushroom Cult Theorists versus Critical History Inquiry. There's no place to hide anymore. You should have learned Latin, like I suggested, instead of posing with your overuse of argumentum and ad ignorantium, because you are about to look really foolish. Please see Appendix 2 and answer my questions. I will not respond otherwise. Checkmate amateur. That's from Tom Hatzis. And that does seem kind of rude and childish, don't you think? He never even once considers how he attacks me in his first introduction, how this would play out in my response to him. Uh-oh is right. Here is another good one. Hey, Jan. So I was talking to the pub house lawyers from my legal right to call you a fraud in my forthcoming book that demolishes your idiotic ideas. The lawyers said that it depends on if you knew at the time that you were full of Shiite Muslim or wholly ignorant of how dumb you truly are. My questions, are you aware of the fact that you're a fraud or are you just stupid? I ask because legally I can't call you a fraud or a charlatan in my book if you truly are ignorant of how stupid you are. If you are awake of how subpar your quote research is, then I can call you a fraud all day and night. If you are not, I have to settle on words like historically inept and stupid. So I leave the decision to you. When my book comes out next year, do you want the chapter devoted to you to be titled Jan Irvin Charlatan or Jan Irvin Idiot? Please let me know ASAP. Oh, and have a great day. Once my book comes out and everyone sees how dishonest or stupid, remember it's your choice, you are, you won't have too many more good days. Sincerely, Thomas Alexander Hatzis. So the man who has made a laughing stock out of you in real academic circles, really? Who? Whom? Who are their names? Ruck? Hardly. It's only another appeal to ridicule and an attack on me. As I replied to his above email attacks, resorting to ad hominem attacks rather than dealing with each specific point of the research on its own, merit is by going... Rather than dealing with each specific point of the research on its own merit by going one by one, it's really a sign of one's mental bankruptcy and lack of mental cognizance and inability to deal with facts. This is why they name call like little children in the playground, fraud, charlatan, idiot, dishonest, stupid, full of Shiite Muslim, dumb, terms one uses to, quote, attack the man when one feels threatened and intellectually incapable of dealing with the facts and citations presented. Another trick of mental deficits is to not examine the entire argument as a whole, to cherry pick a single item out to attack, known as a straw man argument, and take it out of context. How you want to present yourself is really up to you. Make sure that you take nothing out of context and don't misquote anything, as this is when the person you're attacking and name-calling it all will get to take every penny from your work. Mouse starting to go dry. I'm reading all of this. If you want to sound like an intelligent human being, then you'd simply have to deal with each citation point by point in the work as a whole, rather resorting to adolescent idiocy such as name-calling, singling out a single image and ignoring every other bit of the research presented. Then the name-calling is a sound or intelligent way to is not a sound or intelligent way to approach things. But how one who's agenda-driven protects his beliefs? Luckily, only on your own reputation is on the line and your non-existent publishers. I find it strange that he has to admit the first 115 pages in my book that is entirely based on primary documentation. He did this in his emails too, all the while attacking me as a researcher, which is very unprofessional. He's into attacking researchers and not the research. He looks for scant evidence to distort to fit his agendas. Vinny didn't even call him out on all of these fallacies he's using. So sad. Then he attacks the idea of illiteracy and reading being banned in the Dark Ages, quote, the very reason why they were called the Dark Ages in the first place, doe. And there's a Google search there. And then we see. And all of this up to the 34-minute mark, and Vinny, who knows the trivium, allowed this to go on. It's funny, though, also that when he replies to my debunking of him, he admits all of the original key details in his first email to me cited above. I don't know if I can stomach any more of this vacuous idiocy, but maybe I'll finish rebutting this nonsense later. Reading just streams of lies and idiocy makes my stomach turn. Okay, so that's his first reply. There's also a another much longer one on my Facebook here, and I'm gonna do I want to spend another 4 hours reading this out? Oh my god, you know, Jan, you should just come on and freaking debate the guy. All right, I mean, if your facts are exactly as solid as you say, then you should be able to snap him up and wrap him up in a few minutes, innit? And if you're saying that, oh, you just don't have the time, what the heck is all of this response then? Okay, why is there hours upon hours of typing going on here when you can't even spend 1 or even 2 hours on the radio actually talking to the guy for the benefit of the listening audience? And he just told me that I have to read all of this out before he'll come on. You know, I don't like the situation at all. Really, it's quite well. Let me see if I've got something other thing. Okay. First of all, I wanted to say to him where the frack is. I don't even know what I'm looking for here because there's just so much stuff in here that's kind of difficult to find, and it's all over the place. I mean, it's just this situation is really fracked up. Okay, and I'm sorry that I caused it because of my idiocy. Okay, I'm just going to come right out and say that. I just wanted to say that I apologize to anyone who has ever had negative remarks made about them on my show. I admit that I don't do much research and just want to interview everybody to create one of the largest online catalogs of alternative talk and truth. As a result, a few lemons come through, but then it's on to someone else the next day. Please don't get upset. Just have a sense of humor and let me know what's wrong, and I'll try to put things right in any way I can. And that's what I'm doing right here, just trying to read out Jan's ridiculously long-winded, full of repetition response. So, and of course, there's all sorts of attacks of me on here. So if Jan says that I'm using ad hominems against him, he's doing the same thing about me throughout the whole thing. So that's just BS from the start. But anyway, you know, I just want him to come on the show and talk about it. Look, when I had one of Andrew Bashago's detractors, Eugene Levy or something. Oh no, that's an actor. I forget. Eugene Levin, that's the one. When he came on and started attacking Andrew Bashago, Andy then messaged me and said, Vinny, what's this? I want a right of reply. And so I brought him on for an hour with him and Alfred Weber, and they replied and they documented who this person really is and what's actually going on and the truth of the matter, and read out the emails and so on and so forth. And I even give them an extra 2 hours extended interview after the show as well, so that they could discuss other things that were on their mind and cover this subject in just a neat little package. And I've offered Jan a number of times to have the same opportunity, but he keeps refusing. Now, is that suspicious? Don't you think that's a little bit suspicious? That he won't come on? And this is just at this point, and I don't know what's going on here. See, look, there's my three favorite words in the world. I don't know. My three least favorite words in the world, I don't care. Okay? Jan claims that I know the trivium, the who, what, when, where, why, and when, but I don't remember to use it all the fracking time. Sorry. You know, I'm not 100% scholarly. My bad. I can't ask simple questions and stop every single conversation in mid-sentence by pointing out everybody's frickin' logical fallacies. I mean, you still got to live. You still got to have friends and stuff, don't you? So anyway, I said to him on Facebook, thanks for this extremely long and thorough debunking, Jan Ervin. I again apologize for any harm and stress this interview I conducted has caused you. And as I previously stated, I have an opening for you on my show to lay out and in detail explain the fallacies and ad hominem attacks contained within the interview with Tom. Or you can come on air and debate him. Either choice is up to you. Any refusal to come on ever again because of this interview is understood. I do not endorse or condemn either yourself or Tom, as I simply don't know the issues. Being a radio show host for whom banter is the strong point and reading is a weak one. I prefer to talk with the authors instead and make good radio. I try to help people take things a little less seriously and have a sense of humor about things. I never claim to have credibility, as I'm still learning how to filter out fact from fiction after a lifetime of being lied to and manipulated by fallacies, bro. I admit it. Okay? You won't hear any other radio show host in the fracking world admit that they don't know what they're talking about. I do, because I fracking don't. It's a fact. Okay? I just don't fracking know. And when people come out and start accusing me of saying, oh, you did know, and you know the trivium, you know this, you know what angers me more than anything else in this world? People telling me what I think. People telling me what I know. When they don't fracking know, because they're not me. They're not inside my head doing my thinking for me. They're not inside my head doing my gnosis for me either, are they? So it really, really angers me when people accuse me of that kind of stuff. And I can understand why Jan is probably angry, because Tom Hatzis has come on and accused him of a whole bunch of stuff. So sure, be angry. You're not getting angry at me. I didn't say nothing about you, bro. I was just listening to this other dude and wondering what the frack he was talking about and trying to listen. But I apparently should have interrupted him every 5 seconds and go, hold on, you're sending fallacies downstream. That's not good radio. But, you know, and again, is it vacuous to just want to do good radio and facts be damned? Because that's essentially what I did do during that interview, is I didn't check the facts. I didn't pull him up on his fallacies. I didn't contemplate and expose his lies and stuff on air and all of that kind of stuff. So sure, I present a significant amount of blame here. So I'm trying to make amends for it by reading out Jan's response and talking about it and trying to set the record straight and give Jan the opportunity to come on. Am I a bad person who should be completely ignored and ridiculed for the rest of his days because of this? I don't freaking think so. I think that's a bit of an overreaction. Now, I'm kind of... What do I do now? Do I keep... Wait. Here we are. Here's another quote from Jan. It's not good at all that Vinny let him talk smack or lie on the air. All Vinny did was send lies and slander, mental viruses downstream. Now we have to clean up Vinny's mess from being lazy about Shiite Muslim like this. As I said above, we gave Vinny 4 extra days last month to read up. Okay, I'll continue this over the break. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, I had to... There's still yet more from Yarnover. He's now replying to me on Skype wanting to come on the show, but he hasn't actually listened to the full interview with Tom Hatzis yet, so he needs another 25 minutes to do that. And during which time he's asked that I read out the email response that he sent back in February 2013, which is on my Facebook wall, and I just have to... just have to find it. Two people who... Well, I'm very, very sorry for this, ladies and gentlemen. This is just not good radio. I must apologize. It's what happens when people freaking tell me what to do and give me rules. I just kind of frack it up. You know, like rules on how to think and how to talk, how to research, etc. I just don't like rules. Just in general, I think they're made to be broken, and all you got to do is get a result out of what you're doing instead. Okay, here we are, here we are. I've read your fallacy-filled and conflated paper that intentionally focuses on a single point and omits the rest of your research provided to make your case. Yesterday, a family member or friend of yours contacted me and warned me that you were psychotic and pretending to be an academic and that you'd been fired from the university for mental issues. It's clear by your fallacious attacks and excited, childlike emotional behavior that you do have serious issues. There's no place to hide anymore. I wasn't trying to hide. I never claimed to know Latin, though I have had others look at it. Notice how, rather than actually reading I don't know how to spell that, Acaray's book yourself and the primary documents she's published to attack me, you use an appeal to popularity fallacy that because others have attacked her from a position of popularity and authority, it must be wrong. You cite zero specific examples. You furthermore use the same tactic with her, that if something in her first book was an error, then her subsequent five books and all citations in them must be wrong. That's the thinking mentality of a small child. You quoted me on critical thinking right at the start of your article, but then your article itself is completely devoid of critical thought and is filled instead with fallacies. If you heard the Rogan interview, why didn't you pay attention to the part about not using fallacies in your thinking? Your tactic is to use guilt by association here rather than, as intelligence dictates, to go line by line through the work yourself and read it and study the primary documents provided and not attack single selective items from an entire book to rant about it and then pretend in some delusional fallacy-filled mind that this somehow debunks the rest of the work which you've clearly intentionally avoided. Also, rather than reading Acaray's work for yourself, you rely on another fallacy, the ad vericundium, or appeal to authority. Well, guess what? Many academics have also supported her research, but you omit them in your ad hominem attacks. Why not cite Robert Price or Joe Atwill and others who have supported her? This is simply because you're incapable of doing actual unbiased historical research. You likely have an agenda to support. Maybe you're a Christian. And you're incapable of going point by point. So you use fallacies to attack the person rather than the research itself and use all of these guilt by association fallacies that I cited her, and you think she's wrong based on your appeal to authority, and then with your fallacies, and then somehow this association debunks all of my work. Again, these are the intellectual tactics of a small child or an intentional manipulator. You further omit specific works and points these professors you use in your appeal to authority were addressing in her books. Again, in one sweeping generalization, another fallacy. If you know Latin, then you know that fallacy comes from fallare, to lie, and your paper is filled with lies and misrepresentations, but it's much easier to quote someone else than to have read the work and primary documents yourself. Now, isn't it? If you had known how to do historical research and had used critical thinking, you wouldn't attempt such tactics to debunk me. Notice how you even ignored Price's own statement in the book about Acaray. That's very dishonest of you. You also misrepresent my work, giving a false quote, ancient Christian mushroom cult idea, when my book very clearly debunks the idea of it being a cult. You pretend to quote my words, but this is nothing. I wrote an sorry. You pretend to quote my words, but this is nothing I wrote and is your own straw man lie. Again, very dishonest of you. I noticed that rather than addressing a single bit of the evidence and attacks that Akariah and I discussed in our interviews together, you instead cite the interview itself as an attack on her. That's as dishonest as it comes. An honest intellectual, rather than using such sophist trickery, would have gone point by point through both interviews and addressed each and every single point raised individually as intelligence and critical thinking dictates, but not you here. Notice how then, without addressing one single issue in my interview with Akariah, and then you use a red herring to Shermer's baloney detection kit and appeal to ridicule fallacy, another lie. Intelligence would actually require you to have gone through and provided some evidence to support your claims. Some quotes from here that are specific and show how everything she's written is wrong. But to avoid having to deal with our interview or a single shred of evidence she's presented, you use this red herring and appeal to ridicule to Shermer. So by not substantiating your argument in the first place with quotes that prove that the professors are correct and your sweeping generalization about Akariah's ideas have been denounced, by which ones? By whom? Every single one? Really? Prove it. The onus is on you and you've failed. She's got lots of academic support, and this is why you need these fallacious tactics and avoid addressing any of her work specifically. And why it's so important then for you to associate her to me in a fallacious method and then debunk my work on a point-by-point basis, rather than trying to use your emotional fury over a single issue as your attack against my entire work. Again, use some critical thinking, would you? Your thoughts are so filled with fallacies that I wonder really what your agenda is, or if you're just an emotional loon as your own family suggests. Your logic is piss poor, so it's no irony that you should quote my statement from the Rogan show as the intro for your paper and then fail to have acknowledged the systematic method I was discussing, the trivium, which would have allowed you to remove all of your fallacies in your statements, only some of which are mentioned above, but then you are not mentally stable anyone, as your family admits. I like how you conflate the work between Ruck and myself, and you intentionally use this issue over it being an alchemical text versus a bestiary, but I also note that you failed to mention that it's a Christian bestiary. This is likely also intentional, as it fits with your agenda. If it was 14th or 13th century, is again a mistake from the images we were able to find. Again, this does not this does nothing about the rest of our books and works which you failed to even address. And if it's from a Christian bestiary and it's specifically discussing the salamander as a poison, then this is actually more support for the work and not less, as you've attempted to misconstrue the evidence of your narrowly focused childish tirade. In your attack on the epistle text, you further omit that this is a canonized Christian text. You omit the reference to the Jewish text and Muslim Mishkat. Then you return to your overly emphasized false accusations to drive more interest in your sophist tactics. I wonder why Irvin cropped the text out of the picture and Miss Bodhi 602 from his reproduction in THM, when instead you could have just done an online image search and seen for yourself that this is how it's available, as it's in Bennett's books, but you didn't attack him for cropping. As you admit, the image is from the Bodleian. How does it add to credibility or not when it's clear from the other 43 images in the book that we did our best to cite the origins of every image, but of course you must see this lack of available information in 2007 as some grand conspiracy, and then you commit the fallacy of the neglected aspect. You also failed to do a comparative study of salamander art and alchemy and show how this bestiary is not related to the others. I found the salamander, them quite common in alchemical texts, and so the association, again, at the time we were unable to find the original that we tried for some months and didn't have the funds to go to the Bodleian. So confusion to an alchemical text or a Christian bestiary is a simple mistake, not something for you to get excited about and pretend that this one image somehow debunks the rest of our work. This is, again, the thinking mentally of a small child. But if you actually read my entire book, I wonder why you entirely dismiss all of the primary documentation there and subsequent citations to focus on this one single issue, as if you've been some major regards to protect some huge underlying insecurity, perhaps. For your information, I was on. We're going to be going to break soon. You see what I'm getting at, don't you? So he's got huge quantities of debunking going on here. Massive citations of research and so on and so forth, which Tom hasn't. You know, usually that's enough for me. Okay, one person's got heaps of facts, figures, sources, documents, etc. That's enough. That's enough for me. Like now I know. Okay, one guy was full of crap, and the other guy knows what he's talking about. But he goes on to say, "I like how you cite Joe Rogan's show, etc., and how you misname and don't actually quote the epistle text as it negates the rest of your article. You further ignore the Jewish and Muslim text provided, as well as 41 of the other images and the extensive research done by Professor John Rush on the topic as well. But that you can't realize that poisons have always historically been associated with drugs has been repeatedly shown, such as by the 50 or so interviews I've done on the subject with the world's leading experts. You fail to recognize that the poison and the drug are one. The death experience often associated with a drug. You intentionally use inflammatory wording, Christian mushroom cult researchers, and your false attempt to gain emotional support from your readers, but your plot is revealed by your avoidance and misrepresentation of the entire list of the works while focusing on the single issue as if it would possibly debunk the rest. But again, you use fallacious logic arguing the lesser is the greater. If you had read my book, as you pretended to have done, you have seen that many of the mushrooms were in fact not shown the caduceus, and many do. The relation to poison, a man eating something from a tree with a poisonous fruit, is clear to me. The association with the tree of knowledge and the poisonous fruit that was killed but not to enlighten you selectively created a straw man argument here to intentionally misrepresent this work." Okay, I'm not done yet. We'll do the next segment reading out this stuff as well. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.